Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now, or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile, and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
Behind the scenes, behind the glass, there's no sports, it's Matt and Matt, two producers who happen to be homies, just choning on the junkies, yeah. It's Pit Season, what a time to be alive, Pit Season, couple of regular guys, it's Pit Season, go have yourself a laugh. It's Pit Season,
Hey, welcome to Bit Season, episode 48. I'm Drab T-Shirt.
I'm Matt Valdez.
A special edition for you guys, because if you are junkies addicts, then you know that Drab, myself, I'm out of town on Thursday, so we recorded a little early this week, Tuesday afternoon.
I was going to try and pull the wool over their eyes and say that you're doing a live broadcast from New Orleans, and you're going to do a hot sauce taste test right now for us.
I hope the last thing I'm doing in New Orleans is more radio.
It's not much of a vacation, is it?
No, and I've talked about this a little bit on the show. I really butchered my vacations this year. Splitting them back-to-back weeks is just a moronic move. It tilts everyone at the radio station because then, like, 2 weeks in a row are disrupted.
This is what I don't like. Is Drab is the vacation Nazi. He's the Gestapo, and he's the one who shames you for doing any kind of vacation.
No, I shame you for taking 6 weeks of vacation is what I shame.
But whenever you send your email to Drab about vacation, and when you let him know you're going to be taking some days off.
I am the keeper of the gate.
He goes over that with a fine-tooth comb, and he starts analyzing, going, oh, September, huh? That's week two of the football season.
Well, what you need to know about Valdez is that Valdez has worked here for 15 years, and he knows the policy. And the policy has gotten lax the last couple of years, especially with the junkies, who have their own contract and can make up the rules as they go. The junkies have been taking fall vacations. So now Valdez has decided to start taking fall vacations, and he's upset that I raised, my eyebrows about that.
This is the problem.
We have a no football season vacation policy around here.
I did not take a summer vacation, and I'm not taking a winter vacation.
Right.
So I'm jetting to Hilton Head for 3 days.
Are you telling me that you are going to work Christmas?
Yes.
In the Christmas week, you're going to not.
I am.
You know, December vacation.
No,
for Valdez.
December vacation is on my schedule, on my calendar.
All right. Well, you guys helped me remember that.
When Valdez when all of a sudden is, yeah. is say, hey, I want to go to SantaCon in New York this year.
Hey, I got to work New Year's Eve, Drab. What's with that?
You guys can't find some board up?
No, I guess it's not that big of a deal. Valdez can take a fall vacation. We'll be all right. The judges just, take them now.
We just like busting each other's balls.
Yeah,
That's
but like I don't know what – I'm not that excited. I've called myself the Louisiana boy numerous times on the show, on the Junkies throughout the years. And
here's where you screwed up.
Why am I going? I don't even know why I'm going.
This is why you screwed up. I'm going to tell you exactly how and what you did and what you did wrong.
All right.
You should have did a one last banger, one last hurrah. Get it all out of you before football season. Go to Disney. Don't come back in this week. Take some time and chill at the house and then go to New Orleans. That's why it's becoming such a hassle for you.
I know, but I don't have the Eric Bickle vacation schedule where I can just take two straight weeks off.
Hey. You know what?
I don't have that kind of confidence that EB has, where I can just disappear for 2 weeks and expect to have my job when I come back.
This is what you're sleeping on. You're sleeping on this, and I put this in everyone's face every single time. Hmm. We came in during the pandemic.
Oh, yeah. You're still playing that card?
Yeah, I'm playing that 2019-2020 card.
That's Valdez reparations. He wants payback for the next
year. I want my 40 vacation days.
And we did. And when everyone else was punching out and taking half days every single day, doing half the work, we were in here grinding.
Yeah, you got a bunch of people in this office quiet quitting. Yeah. All right. But I tell you what, I deserve my hero pay. I'm trying to get my backlog for hero pay, and this is how it's being repaid to us, Drab, in the form of vacation days.
All right, Valdez, actually, I'm glad you brought that up, and we'll get to the rest of my vacation and my Disney trip here in a few minutes. Will you talk to me about quiet quitting? Because you've said that numerous times here the past few weeks, and I want to know if that's what you're interested in doing, and B, what is so exciting? Why are so many people doing this?
The New York Post, the producer Bible.
That is true.
All right. Producer Bible had a article about quiet quitting. And from my skimming of it, quiet quitting is the new trend, the new fad that's going on. And it's not like, running out in a huff and telling your boss in 2 weeks, I'm out of here, I got a new job.
Mm-hmm.
Quiet quitting is basically being so demoralized by work that you've just completely stopped trying to do anything. It's almost like, I call your bluff, fire me.
All right, so instead of like... half-baked, F you, I quit.
Uh-huh.
You're cool.
You just sit
waiting for someone to notice.
Yes, exactly. You wait for your superior to notice that you're not doing your work and you're not doing what's required of you.
But I think the reason why that's successful is because you could do that for months at a lot of jobs and nobody would know.
That's why it's hot in corporate America right now.
There's actually, I think, quitting. A lot of jobs out there where you can't even get fired if you do that. there's jobs from like government jobs, or union jobs where I think a lot of times it's really hard to get fired from that job.
I'm very intrigued by that.
You want one of those?
Yeah, I'm very intrigued by this because number one, I'm jealous.
I know.
Because if you go one day of screwing up around here, you're on the hot seat.
Right? Yeah.
You know, you make some big mistakes. Lurch says you. And then all of a sudden
it ends real quick because you're asleep at the dumb button.
Yeah, you're asleep at the wheel, and then boom, you're out of here.
I can make the argument that a couple of people have been quiet quitting for a while before it was noticed.
And mainly, I'm so fascinated by it because I would love to see how long you could keep it going. Like, could you make a career out of quiet quitting?
I think in sales you can maybe do it for a while. Where like,
well, no,
hold on, you coast on renewals.
Oh, right. I was thinking quota.
And then you get, I know, but it's going to take a while for that to build up. Right. So say you're a sales radio guy and you've got all these car deals. And
Sam Weiner.
You're Sam Weiner. Right? Right. Sam's got built-in renewals for years. Sam doesn't have to find any new business, and he could just coast on signing
into
a couple,
the sunset.
Into this, honestly, for about like 5 years before anyone I think notices.
I'm all about gaming the system.
I know,
and the way that you brought it up about how these people have these government jobs mm-hmm. and they just sit there all day. I just love the picture of George Costanza taking the smaller office and working on that Penske file.
Well, you know what's right? Even better than quiet quitting is the pandemic fad, the remote working of having two full-time jobs. Have you heard about that?
Oh, well, that doesn't sound like less work.
I know.
That sounds like more work.
No, no.
I'm all about less work.
No, but here's the thing. Because nobody's doing anything and nobody's actually checking your work and no, you don't have a boss standing over your shoulder and you're not wasting time at meetings. Uh-huh. And perhaps for some people, you can actually be more productive at home where you can crank out your work in a short amount of time.
So these are people who are not scamming the work from home system where they roll out of bed, move their mouse a couple times, fire off a few emails. And then they're doing all their errands, come back and they're pretending they're working for 4 hours.
I think what people figured out is that you don't actually have to put in 8 hours at a lot of these jobs. Right. And again, don't be offended by anything we're saying. We're just spitballing. I'm not talking about you specifically if you are irritated by what I'm saying here. But I'm saying I've heard about this.
Look, Drab and I are fascinated by corporate America.
And if you can't tell, we're always trying to find a shortcut. So here's what they're doing, Valdez.
Okay.
They are, I think, like, our company would never allow us to have another full-time job. So they don't know about the other full-time job.
Right. And that would go with like a competing show or something. Like, you know what I mean?
Right. Exactly.
Like the Junkies and their contracts specifically say, you know, you're not allowed to put out your own content or podcast.
CK wouldn't let us go work for Spotify producing podcast or something like that.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Full time. It just wouldn't happen.
A Sirius XM afternoon show.
But if you work from home, right, and you are efficient enough or you can pull the wool over people's eyes well enough that you can have two full-time jobs at once where you got two monitors in front of you and you're kind of like checking in on both, but you're getting double the income, double the paycheck. I guess you don't need benefits for both.
All right, this is my dream.
this is my dream too. Okay.
This is my dream. Number one, I am so skilled with spreadsheets. I'm not myself, but I'm saying cubicle world and cubicle.
You're
land.
So efficient at Microsoft Excel
that I have two jobs going on, and I have one monitor for Leidos, and the other monitor is for what's another government contracting company?
Lumen.
Yeah, I got Leidos on one screen, Lumen on the other.
Yeah.
All right, and I'm banging spreadsheets all day long. For those two people, listening to talk radio as
right.
I do it.
Say you're a social media manager. Just say someone in the media business. You telling me that you couldn't sit at home on your computer working like three full-time jobs as a social media manager?
Managing three different Twitter accounts? Yeah. And if I was smart, you know what I would do is I have them all interact with each other.
Of course.
Right? Now right. I'm driving content with all three of them.
And then you got just income galore. You can do whatever you want on your vacation days.
Triple dipping.
Yeah. I mean, I'm jealous. So instead of quiet quitting, we should be double dipping is what we should be doing, Valdez. First off, we got to get out of radio.
Yeah.
But once we do, that's another theme of the show. Valdez and I are always looking for jobs, new jobs besides this one that we fantasize about.
Yeah, my parents asked me the other day. They said, the Junkies are getting ready to move on.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Lurch Bish is looking at homes in Wrightsville Beach.
He's looking at beach houses in Ocean City almost. But my parents, they say, what's your plan after the Junks go off into the sunset? And I say, well, I hope a listener is looking to hire somebody funny. I can crack some jokes around the office.
Yeah, can he? I'm a good water cooler guy.
Yeah, I bring great company morale. All those retreats that you have at whatever park,
mm-hmm.
I'm awesome. All right,
hey, It made me happy. I thought of you last night, Valdez. I was doing some show prep, and I was checking out what Boomer and Gio were talking about on WFAN. It's the morning show up there. And they had a segment titled, Radio People Aren't Qualified to Work Anywhere Else.
you realize that's my whole mantra.
That's Valdez's mantra, he's been frustrated for a decade because he doesn't have any qualities to actually work anywhere else.
Drab, what do I always say to you when we're talking about our futures?
I'm going to go pour beers.
Well, no, not just that. Yeah. I said, what's my skill set?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Running a board.
Yeah. How many boards are out there that need people that aren't automated? I sure can edit some audio.
Yeah.
That's about it.
But that's the goal. We're trying to get away from that.
Yeah.
All right. So you mentioned that the junkies are at the end of their rope. They're in the sun is setting, the golden age of their careers, which seems to be talked about a lot more on the show.
I tell you what, today's start of the show was very old.
I know.
I stayed up till 10:30, and I'm going to go to bed at 6 o'clock.
Weather
and eat dinner
talk
at 4.
And weather talk.
Weather talk and retirement
and
talk.
Dog dying talk.
Yeah,
yeah. It was an old show. I actually read an article from Jim Rome's former producer, and he was talking about how he knew it was time to leave the Jim Rome show when Jim Rome got inducted into the Hall of Fame. Because he said, once you're inducted into the Hall of Fame, that's the end of the line. And it's time.
There's no looking back.
Yeah. Like, that's the end of his career. It's winding down. I better start looking for something else.
Hey, you know what? That's when they start playing the Oscar music.
Yeah. So he started his own business. I don't know what he's doing now. But I was like, that's a smart guy. He saw the writing on the wall, and he got the hell out.
Well, we're holding on for dear life.
So when the junkies make the DC Sports Radio or Hall of Fame or whatever they always talk about, we got to get out, Valdez, because it's definitely the end of the line.
That's our time. That's our cue.
But it might come before that because Lurch Bish has been talking a lot recently, and he talked about it on the show today about finding his retirement home, and he's focused on Wrightsville Beach in North Carolina, Valdez.
Number one, before we get to the location, I want to say that Jason has always kind of been talking about this, about how he's moving down south for retirement.
Mm-hmm.
But I always thought it was like tongue in cheek. But when he went down to move his daughter into college and then they went on their little mini vacation to the Carolina beaches. When Jason admitted, and I thought this was a huge admission, that he was looking at properties and lots of land, that's how I knew that he's being serious about it.
I know. I think, I don't know what he's thinking long term as far as how many years he's got left. But once you start buying property or if you're buying land to build on, you're clearly not in it for the long haul. Unless he thinks that he can do the junkies from home, he can remote work the junkies, which we know is possible. I just don't know if management wants that done or at the corporate level.
Right.
The charm of the junkies is they're all in it together. They're all in the same room. They're the childhood friends.
It's a shtick circle. It's hard to do a shtick circle when you're in four different locations.
What's one? And the junkies have promised that they'll never do a show without the other one, if one gets fired or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Maybe that would be the end of the junkies. If Lurch says, I'm going to move down there, and they say, well, you can't because we're not going to let you do a show from your bedroom every day, then maybe the junkies would end.
That's true.
That's a sad reality.
I didn't think about that. That's a great point that you made. The junks said we're all in this together, all for one, one for all.
At least that would be the end of the radio show. Now, probably not the end of the junkies' broadcasting career, because then they would start a podcast.
Yeah, and yeah,
they
would
be their own bosses, and they'd make their own rules, but. Yeah, I don't know.
Lurch kind of
doesn't really talk about his timeline, though.
Yeah,
so
I was gonna say, what would you say the timeline is for something like that?
I mean, also, it's really early to retire.
Yes, I know.
Why is he so old?
It's also tilting. He's 52. Like 52.
I'm not saying he's in the prime of his career, but he could be. Like 52. a lot of guys aren't even senior management by that time, right?
I believe my dad retired at 66, 65 or 66.
Most people don't retire till their late 60s.
Yeah.
And if you're super successful, maybe early 60s. But put like retiring at 55, you got to be – for someone to retire at 55, I think you got to be A, hate your job, and B, like a mega millionaire.
Look, most people don't retire at 55 because that's the start time to get into those communities.
I know. I know, but also you really start bankrolling at age 55.
Yes, because that's when you start making your money.
Yes, you're not dipping. Then
everyone wants to ride that gravy train as long as possible.
I know, but that's when your 401k starts just really accelerating.
Yes.
Is when you're in your 60s, right? Mm-hmm. So that's why you don't want to spend that money at that time. You want to keep working. And then it explodes in your final few years. Then you're set.
Maybe Jason is the richest junkie, and
he might be.
And he just has so much stashed away that what's the point of working even more? I don't know. I'm not in his.
You know what bothered me about Jason this week is that he was talking about all the mega mansions in the Wrightsville Beach area, Wilmington. Okay, let me tell you. I've been there. I went there 2 years ago. It was brought up on the show today that I don't go to East Coast beaches. For some reason, I completely forgot that.
I actually remember that vacation. You went there like 2 years.
It.
You went
I
there like
it.
2 years ago.
You know
right?
what? Yeah. And do you know why I loved it?
Why is that?
Because it was trashy and cheap. Okay. I don't know what Jason is trying to sell the DC audience on Wrightsville and Carolina Beach.
Topsail
Beach. Valdez even knows because I came back from that vacation and we were Zillowing homes there. They're all affordable homes. It's an area that is growing for sure.
When it was described as blue collar beach,
it was blue. Let me tell you something. I've never seen so many guys with bad tattoos and tank tops and beer bellies as I've seen in Wrightsville Beach.
Well then,
it's NASCAR Haven. In fact, you know the name of the guy who I hung out with that week. His name was Turbo. Okay, you're not finding any guys named Turbo in Kiowa Beach,
Kiowa Island,
or whatever it's called. All right,
my beach town. When I retire, better not have a tattoo parlor.
Right, this place was for like. Blue collar families.
All right. Well,
and I'm not blue collar. Just middle to lower class families that want a beach trip.
Maybe Jason is compromising his location so that he can retire by 54.
Maybe that's true, and maybe he wants the biggest house on the block. He can definitely probably do that. But that is a slept on area. I enjoyed it a lot. And the beaches are silly down there.
Are they white sand beaches?
No. You got to go to like Florida for that or Myrtle Beach, I think.
Well, what about this psychoanalyzing,
but
Jason?
But very wide. I like wide beaches, long, not overcrowded.
All right,
great water.
It's not super duper crowded.
It's like a less crowded Virginia Beach.
Okay, and it's a blue collar town. Okay. Jason wants to be the big silly at the beach. All right. The young retired guy.
All right, I think he'll regret it.
Has his new plot of land, and he wants to be the big fish down there in Topsail.
No, because if Jason was that guy, he'd still be living in Lanham. Jason likes living with all the hoity-toity people. And just be, you know, mixing around with those guys.
Tell me something. When you were down there, what were some of the activities that you did?
They got all the trashy stuff like go-karting and the hot dog stands. I remember it was like the same stuff as Ocean City has.
This is what I don't understand. Jason, and they asked him, well, like, are you going to get a boat? Or, you know what I mean? So, like, what is he going to do for retirement? Is he just going to sit in his house all day? He's got to have some sort of hobby. He's got to have
he's just going to live there. Like, he's not going to Not everybody who lives on a beach house has a boat. I could get with that. I mean, like, how often are you going to take your boat out into the ocean?
I think, you know, people do it a lot during the summer.
Maybe if you live in Florida or something like that. The water's, I don't know. I don't know enough about that place.
Well, they have like an inlet. You can cruise around your inlet.
That's true. But it's like a family-friendly beach. Like, for young kids, they need a lot of dumb activities for, like, Ocean City, Myrtle Beach, Carolina. Like, those, Kiawah Island and Outer Banks are different type of beaches.
Let me ask you a question. Does Topsail have a boardwalk?
Topsail is remote, almost. It's far away from the town.
Oh.
That one is. So maybe that's why he likes that one. It's small, from what I remember.
I see. And he has
Wrightsville in Carolina.
And he has the town nearby.
Like, so 10, 15 miles away.
So he can still do all of that, all of the junky beach stuff if he wants to.
Right. So maybe that is a good spot for him. I don't know. There's just not that Loudoun County money down there that he's used to.
What do you think he's gonna do without any hookups down there?
That's why I don't understand. Jason lives for freebies. He lives for free golf. He doesn't know anybody in Wilmington area to give him free golf.
He's turning off his hookup spigot.
I'd be hooked up to that forever.
Yeah, that hose would be running nonstop.
Right.
I know, but now he's putting cement all in that spigot.
So it is interesting, Jason moving faster along the retirement or getting the heck out of Dodge path. To be determined. Honestly, I don't think we know a whole lot more than the audience does. We're just kind of going with it. He's very private about this kind of stuff. So what he's told you guys on air is basically how much Valdez and I know.
We're just spitballing.
Yeah. We don't know what we're talking about.
We're just killing time. He doesn't give us any insider information, and we're not 50, so we have no idea about retirement.
Right. But what I do know about Valdez is vacations.
Oh.
All right, and I listened to Bit Season.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Would you rate the episode without you?
Well, I thought you guys, I enjoyed it.
Okay.
I saw all the compliments, so I was intrigued. Everybody was saying, Bit Season did it again. Wow. Ryan the Stallion's a true host. Who needs Drab?
You want to know who needs Drab? I need Drab.
Why, relaboring? Sounded like you guys were having a good time.
We were having a good time. But I will say, there was a discussion before the mics cracked that said, hey, Stallion, if we got to do this in 10 to 15 minute intervals and piece it together, I'm willing to do that. Just because I wasn't sure if we had enough stuff to go.
No, Stallion's a young guy. It's good for him to get the reps in. I think he can clearly hold down the fort.
And I think Lindsey John helped out too a little bit at the end too.
And when you're gone, I'm sure I can do a show with Stallion to fill in the blanks there while you're gone. But I do appreciate you guys. You guys did a good job. You told some funny stories. I don't appreciate you saying that I would be the first bitch in jail. I wholeheartedly disagree with that. And as you know,
hey,
you mentioned my man boobs and my lips or something.
Yeah, I said your lips would look very, very succulent to the inmates.
All right,
but this is I was kind of taking shots at you because no one did that on the junks. And during vacation, that's what we do all the time.
I know. Well, you got 3 more days this week to take shots at me as I'm going to be out. But yeah, that is what we like to do. We like to really just Joan Shrapnel, if that's the word, people who are out of town. They can't defend themselves.
It's yes, because the person is defenseless. That's why we like doing it so much.
But you knew I was going to listen anyways.
I wasn't sure if you would or not.
I texted you.
You
texted me Thursday. I had just gotten there. And he's like, hey, have you listened to Bit Season yet? I'm like, I'll get to it. I'll get to it.
I'm busy.
I listened this morning on the way in.
Hold on. What was my thing? Let me know if you get it. I did text it to you at 12:17. Yeah.
You literally just posted it.
I said, let me know if you get a chance to listen to Bit Season. Not as bad as I thought.
I know. I could tell you were proud of it.
I was proud of it when you texted me that.
No, you guys did a good job.
Oh, thank you.
So I was down at Disney, and you guys were killing me the first like 15 minutes of last week.
Can you explain this to me? Because this is what we don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
You met your brother, who lives in Dallas.
Right. The 2.5 hours away.
Yeah.
And your whole excuse
to go down to Disney.
Yes.
Is I don't get to see my brother and his family that
right.
often.
I said they were coming to the East Coast.
But when you triangulate DC to Orlando,
what's a half
to Dallas?
What's an extra half hour?
What's an extra half hour on a plane?
Because here's why. There's nothing intriguing about Dallas to me. I've been there. What am I going to take a week-long trip and sit in my brother's living room? No, that sounds boring to me.
You go out on the town.
Plus, it was a boys' trip. That's what you're sleeping on. All right? No wives. My brother in Spokane didn't bring his wife. My brother in Dallas didn't bring his wife. And we all met in Orlando. And so it was a chance to see both of my brothers.
Oh.
Also, I was intrigued by Disney. I had never been. I've been hearing about it my whole life. I was depraved of it as a kid. Every kid in my class was going to Disneyland or going to Disney World, and I never got the chance to go to Disney World. I have been to Disneyland.
Do you know what some theories were out there?
That I'm a creep. That I'm a Disney adult.
That you're scouting. You're doing a scouting trip for your two girls.
It was 100% a scouting trip. That's how I sold my wife on it. Because I know I have to go back there in a few years.
I want you to be honest.
Well, all right.
All right.
Be very honest.
How good did it feel abandoning your wife for four days?
I did think about it, how miserable it would have been with them there. Mostly my kids. My wife, no comment.
You're pushing your kids aside to so you can go on your Star Wars ride.
Right.
Hey, let me tell you,
it's an unorthodox boys' trip.
Did you go on the log flume?
Oh, Splash Mountain?
The racist one.
What is that? A Small World after all? I didn't go on any log flumes.
No. There's a log flume there. Do you remember the old Disney movie Song of the South?
Oh, I think that's I do. We talked about that one time. I think on the Junkies.
Maybe. But the log flume, the ride was beloved by everyone there.
And did they change
during the pandemic, they had to go in and change every little aspect of it.
Yeah, Splash Mountain. It was Splash Mountain.
Yeah, Splash Mountain.
Disney is overhauling Splash Mountain.
No wonder my dad made me ride that thing 20 times.
No, I did not ride Splash Mountain. Here's the thing about Disney that you don't understand if you've never been as an adult. It takes a lot of planning. I disrespected my brother. He'd been planning this thing for months and months and months. I was just along for the ride. I was just the fun uncle who was going to show up.
You were Uncle Joey.
I was Uncle Joey. I didn't realize that it takes so much. You have to plan out all your the reservations are so hard to get, and you have to plan out what park you're going to go to for what day and all the things you're going to do at the park. And he'd been watching YouTube videos for months on end, highlighting all the foods to eat.
So many highlighters. Let me ask you a question. Did he have a map? Did he map out everything?
He had a Word document or something, a printout, and the things that were on his list. I'm not kidding.
I was thinking a park map, here by X by 1 o'clock.
It was on his phone. Yeah, because you have to reserve your ride times. A lot of it, everything's a big scam.
Of course,
I'll say this. Let me say this by starting off about it. It was extremely hot. And I knew that going in. The lines were laborious. 2 hours to ride. Your feet want to fall off. You're walking like 10 miles a day. As I said on Junks, nobody was having any fun. I didn't see any smiles. Okay? Adults, miserable. Kids, screaming.
How many kids in leashes did you see?
I didn't see any kids in leashes, but my niece, she's almost 9. She was wearing an Apple tracker. On her wrist, so she got kidnapped.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me if you think this is a little bit weird. My brother was told that he could not let my niece, his daughter, go into the bathroom by herself.
What?
I thought this was weird.
That is, how old is she? Nine?
She's almost nine. She turns nine next month. Okay? Because they are so worried about kidnapping. And that my
if that's, you gotta shut that park down if that's if kidnapping is so rampant.
That's what I said. Or maybe losing her. I don't understand. I'm sure people are gonna agree with me on this. That he had to take my 9-year-old niece into the men's room with her.
Oh.
So he could keep an eye on her. Going the bathroom. I thought this was weird. And I don't want to make fun of my brother or anything like that.
That is weird.
Made that mistake on podcast before. But I had to get this off my chest.
At 9 years old? That's not what I don't want.
I don't feel like there's a lot of kidnapping going on
uncomfortable.
In the girls' restroom.
Yeah, because anytime you see a guy walking in the girls' restroom.
Right, of course, that's a huge red flag. So it was always a pain in the ass to find the bathroom that he could like take her into, and then he'd stand outside the stall, I get if the girls like 4 or 3 and she's or very young,
uh-huh.
But I feel like an almost 9-year-old should be able to go to the bathroom by herself in a park without getting kidnapped.
You know how you solve that problem?
What?
If there's a lot of kidnapping going on in these bathrooms,
yeah.
You know how you solve this problem? Porta potties.
No. Disney's not going to sink to the level of porta potties. This place is immaculate.
Was it dirty? Did it look dirty?
No. The place. You could eat dinner in the bathrooms. That's how clean the place was. That's the thing about Disney. I compare it to the National Mall. You know how the National Mall is spotless?
Yes.
And when you come here, it's like that shiny beacon on a hill, whatever they say, right? Like it's immaculate because that is the centerpiece of the city, of the country, when people come here and first the capital. Disney, they don't like you drop a piece of paper on the ground, someone's coming by to pick it up.
It's Orlando's baby.
It is. Like Disney, they just—it's very well. The landscape is
well. Let me ask you a question. What's the difference between going to Disney,
all
right, and then going to like what's that amusement park in Ohio, like Cedar Point, Cedar Rapids?
No, not Cedar Rapids. It might be Cedar Point,
Cedar something. Yeah,
yeah.
But that's like a massive amusement park. I'm talking like four Busch Gardens with all of the rides.
That is known as like the thrill capital, roller coaster capital of America, which is probably
white trash?
But it's white trash. Here's the thing. There's no magic attached to it. And I don't mean to use that word like an idiot.
You got Disney brainwashed.
I got Disney brainwashed. I don't know what happened because I'm telling you, I had a miserable time.
It's the craziest marketing in the world.
I don't know
you're sweating like a pig. You're spending thousands of dollars that you don't need to.
And so much money.
You're waiting in line for 2 hours to pretend you're Superman. And you go back and you say it's magical. I just spent a magical $10,000.
And that's what I don't understand about that place.
You stayed in a shoebox of a hotel.
Because let me tell you, all I've done since I've returned from Orlando, Florida, is think about my next trip to Orlando, Florida and Disney World. They must brainwash you. It's got to be the radio waves on their FM dial down there or something where they brainwash you.
You know what it is? It's the Mickey ears. You put on the Mickey hat, it's like you get a lobotomy.
I'm telling you, I even told Blake Giffen this on Twitter because Blake Giffen is also a Disney mark, him and Cakes. I said, Blake, I think I got the Disney bug. It's miserable while you're there, but it's also fun. And he goes, Drab, that's a veteran take of Disney World. It's hot, it's chaotic, it's stressful at times, but you want to go back the next day for some reason.
You know what it is? That butter beer that you got, it's got to be some sort of Jim Jones juice.
I was drinking the Kool-Aid, Valdez. And because even the rides, let me tell you something about the rides at Disney World. They're not that great. I'm a thrill seeker.
If I'm on a ride, I hate heights, but I like roller coasters.
And
I miss the thrill of roller coasters.
And I missed a lot of the big sillies because I was with a 4-year-old. And I was a leadoff hitter, Valdez, or whatever you want to. I was Mr. Sacrifice, okay? I was making sacrifices.
Scott Stapp.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Scott Stapp. So many sacrifices. So much putting my needs beneath others on this trip. Because if it was up to Drab, I would have been zooming around on the Velocicoaster, the Hulk ride, the Marvel ride, all the big sillies.
Hey, you know what I
but
like
instead,
envisioning?
I was spending my afternoons at Toy Story Land on the Slinky ride.
You know what I like to envision? Is you and your two brothers and your two nephews or nieces.
Yeah.
Walking in there, showing your tickets to the gate, then you turning around to your brother going, all right, I'll see you in 6 hours. And then,
I definitely was the only one that took a break. These morons, my brothers, were out there for 12 hours. I did that the first day, and I said, I'm not doing that again. Friday, I'm going back and I'm going eating lunch by myself. I need my own fortress of solitude for Superman, my own little Marvel time or DC time, whatever the hell it is, because I need to recollect. I need to gather my thoughts here. And so before I spend another afternoon with you yahoos.
Before I blow my brains out, I got to calm myself down. Hold on. So did you guys like go in right when the park opened and then stay till close?
Oh, we were there. It's like 7:15 in the morning. You think I was sleeping in on my vacation? No, that alarm went off. It's like 5:45 one morning. You got to get up and showered and get ready to take the tram over to the gondola over to the park so you can get there for the Disney Resort early access. So you beat everybody else out and that's a big scam because, hello, everyone's staying at the Disney Resorts.
Yeah, everyone has early access. Yeah. You know what that means? More time to buy tchotchkes.
Oh my God! The sprint to the dumb Rise of the Resistance ride. That's the Star Wars ride.
That's
which isn't that fun. Overrated.
It's an experience.
It's an experience because these rides are interactive simulators almost, and they're getting better each and every single year. They're 3D and 4D.
So it's almost like you're seeing another Star Wars movie. A live action Star Wars movie.
Right. There's very few dips in turning you sideways on all the new rides. I think the Marvel one maybe is like that. But a lot of these rides are just simulators where you're just in front of a cool screen.
Oh. Did your brother buy $1,000 lightsaber?
Yes. Yes. That's one of the times he told me he was going to a lightsaber workshop. And I said, I'm going back to the resort. I'm not sticking around to watch you build a toy.
He built build a bear, but for lightsabers. No.
He did build your own lightsaber and build your own R2-D2 back to back. One of those times I said, I'm going to the Tower of Terror. I rode the Tower of Terror. I'm getting a headache. I feel like I'm one of these rides, spinning myself around.
Let me ask you a question. Yeah. Did your brother spend more money on dinners or on his lightsaber at the park?
Let me tell you. My brother spent more money on lightsabers than he did our hotel room. We stayed in the world's tiniest Disney hotel room.
Did you fight off roaches with his lightsaber?
We stayed at this place called the Disney Pop Century, which I knew was the one star of Disney resorts. We got in there. I opened the hotel room. I walk in. I see one hotel bed. One full-size hotel bed in the room. The room's a shoebox.
Your brother could use his lightsaber and cut it in half.
I walk in. I haven't seen my brother in 2 years. I said, at first I said to him, where's my bed? And he points at the wall. And he says, it's a fold-down. My bed was a Murphy bed. I had to pull down from the wall. There wasn't 1 foot in between the two beds.
Sounds like a fun boys trip.
My bed was right next to his bed, and the other bed was right next to the front door.
Can you imagine all this buttercream beers and then just ripping farts all night long next to him?
Yeah, so many butterbeer farts. Yeah. The four-year-old was doing the naked dance, jumping from bed to bed.
Yeah. Can't wait to go back. Oh, that's funny.
I know.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we teased a big announcement on the show.
Let's get to that. We
announced an announcement. So when we come back, we'll fill you guys in on that.
All right. Be right back.
Whoa. Okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash. Mm-mm-mm.
Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game, and head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to Bit Season. You're listening to episode 48 here, just Drab and Valdez, recording on a Tuesday. Stallion couldn't make it in today with a schedule change. But last week when you guys were doing the show together, you teased an announcement, which is always fun to think about. But I think it is a pretty cool experience that could happen or is happening very shortly.
Yes, so I announced an announcement, and with Drab here, our show Bit Season will be doing a live broadcast for JPO.
Yeah, there it is. It was brought to us, the idea of it, a couple weeks ago. Of course we said, well, yeah, we'd love to do Bit Season on the road, and what better event than the Junkies Poker Open. And so what the plan is for Drab and Valdez to be doing a live show.
Live taping, because it's not going to be broadcast.
It will not be broadcast, but we will be at a table talking to each other in the poker room.
Yes.
Right there watching the tournament while you guys are playing, and you can come up and talk to us while we're doing our show or before or afterwards. And we're super excited about it.
We're definitely excited about it. We feel like there's a growing sense of Biddy community out there. And this is our first chance to meet and greet some of the Biddies who tweet us all the time and tell us that they're enjoying the show.
And connect with, you know, potential new listeners out there.
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff.
It's a great way to grow the show, too.
But we will have a ton to talk about, because we are planning a lot of things for not just the JPO and the broadcast that morning, but also the day before is our big NFL debut Thursday kickoff show, which, if you remember last year, was what, Valdez?
The Crab Kickoff.
The Crab Kickoff. And Valdez and I, we're putting our ideas together, and we're gonna pitch the Junkies on the second annual Crab Kickoff here, and make sure that we get that on the book. So we'll have that to talk about. We'll have the JPO the night before.
Yeah, all the shenanigans. If we're doing a show dinner beforehand, we're gonna get the guys maybe a little loosey goosey on mic, talking to us on Bit Season. So I think it's going to be a great episode. And this is a great reminder, not only to you, but to the Biddies. But do you remember when our first Bit Season show was last year.
I do remember. It was the day of the crab kickoff.
Yeah, we'd had
so it's our 1 year anniversary party.
Yes, so this is our paper anniversary. This is our 1 year bit season anniversary. I actually can't believe we made it a year. Mainly because I didn't doubt our success. I just, I doubt my stick-to-itiveness.
Bingo. Bingo. So yeah, very cool. You can celebrate 1 year with us. Come up and say hello.
Yeah, we want you to come up and say hi. That's the main thing we want you to do. If you like listening to Bit Season, if you hate me on it and love Drab,
nobody feels that way.
I'm just saying, come up and say hi. So it will make us feel good.
We don't know the exact time, but I think probably around noon is when we'll be doing it. So yeah. The tournament starts at 11 a.m. Everybody will get settled, and then we'll be doing our own show. I was told tucked away in a corner, but I think we'll be somewhere in the room where I think he was just kidding around, but somewhere where you can come say hello and talk to us. So
yeah, and you know, it, when you come up and you say hello, it makes us look good too. We got a big crowd around us hanging out, saying hi to us. It'll make us look good in front of all the muckety mucks.
So it should be a fun day. We're getting really excited for the Poker Open. We're so glad that it's back. It's been a couple years, and you guys definitely, if you don't come out, if you're not staying in the hotel, which we recommend, I know there's still some rooms available, come out, watch the show that Friday morning, play in the tournament, or come out the night before for a few hours, hang out with us in the sports book. We got a lot of cool stuff going on. I'm intrigued by the Bloody Mary bar that I believe was introduced last week when I was gone.
Yeah, Scotty's is providing vodka and the Bloody Mary bar starting, I believe, at 6 a.m. for the junks.
Now, how tanked is Rom going to be?
Oh, you know what? That's a great question.
Because that hasn't something we've had to deal with. A lot of people drinking during the live shows.
Well,
because usually they're all hung over from the night before when we were at the Borgata. Nobody was really getting drunk at 6 a.m.
No, but Rom will do it just for the attention dollars.
Of course.
If nobody, because look, it's going to be hard to have a Bloody Mary right at 6.
Uh-huh.
But if they're set up shop and nobody's there, I can see Rom using that as a Rompertunity to shine for attention dollars. Although I also said that Rom is going to treat JPO like the Lion King and hold his new baby Simba up in front of everybody and crown her with attention dollars.
I know. Rom is he's really soaking up.
You know what, Rom? Stop DMing me with pictures of your baby trying to get me to talk to you. Stop using your child as an attention dollar grabber.
I know. He's like doing nonstop complaining about sleep. I know Rom. He's not doing all the work. He's pretending he's doing all the work. I know him. He's not doing all the work.
Hey, do you think Rom had a child basically to talk to you and the junks about stuff?
Oh, you know what Rom told me, though? I got kind of sized for. You know how he always says that you and me are tertiary heroes or something, like secondary heroes
secondary,
or whatever.
Yeah.
He said that once he's put in 2 weeks of fatherhood, that he has moved me up to primary hero status because he doesn't know how I did twins.
That's really funny.
And I've accepted now primary hero worship from Rom.
You've got promoted to primary hero.
I got promoted to primary. But I wanted to ask you about this, and this is my tilt of the week, Valdez, as we move on from our announcement here. One of Rom's, of course, perhaps his ultimate hero is Eric Bickle. EB put me on tilt today, and this is my tilt of the week as I've only been here 2 days. Eric's broadcasting performance, it was terrible during one segment today, and we always clamor for EB to come back because he's the non-sports guy. But EB was ricking me. As we teased at 8 o'clock or 8:20 today going to break, we are teased into the Commander beer story. And then we come back, and EB starts talking about video games.
No. Not just video games. The weather.
Oh, the weather started the segment, which you've heard us. We don't need to go into it again. We hate the weather talk because it's so unneeded, but it is what it is. The weather.
I see.
Old man. Isn't there a song about old man talking about the weather? And how they just boring old. That's what they do when old men do that.
Hey, this is what I can. I know why you're tilted.
Why?
And this is what specifically tilted me is when Eric came in look, if they miss a topic, that's fine. Well, it's not fine, but it's not the first time that it's happened. But you know, the Junks tease stuff and then they get off track. It happens. But
oh yeah, that can happen. But usually it's with like awesome content. Not Eric coming in during the break and saying,
"This is what I don't like."
It's a terrible habit that we want him to break, and I love Eric. Eric knows that we love him.
This is what I don't like is that he came in and he says, "Hey, I want to talk about this Tiger Woods video game."
We're like, all right. We'll talk Tiger anytime because we love Tiger, and
you're passionate about Tiger,
and I know a little bit about video games, so I'll be able to rap with you for a few minutes.
It's like, all right, we can. This is good.
So we come back. You're right. We start talking about the weather because Lurch brings it up, and then EB goes, "All right, I want to bring something up. What's the deal with this Tiger Woods video game?" I don't know. I barely know anything about it. I know the other guys don't know anything. I was anticipating Eric filling us in and having an opinion about the Tiger Woods video game.
Like of all people to put on a video game, why Tiger? Or
hey, I saw this Tiger.
I haven't played Xbox since Splinter Cell, and I'm all.
His question was, will this game get me back into video games? And I'm thinking, I don't know. I don't know anything about the game other than the Tigers on the Drab. Don't you play sports video games? And then he loops me into the thing, and I feel like I got to help bail him out here. But I don't know anything about golf video games. I thought Eric was prepared and was going to give like an opinion about it and about how seisty he was, and he's looking forward to this in the game or that in the game.
He can't believe graphics are what they are now. And it looks real or something like that.
And then he goes, I'm like, all right. That we're floundering here. And then he goes, also, what's the deal with Tiger and Rory Stadium Tour? And there's literally been no information announced about it. Just announced that they were doing it. And if he would have like looked into it, he would have known that.
He turned Eric for one segment turned into Jerry Seinfeld, going, "What's the deal with stadium tours?"
We hate it, and I think the listeners, we hate it when Eric talks in questions. Because that's the last thing you want a radio host to do is talk in questions. You want them to come with strong opinions. I tell callers that when callers call in and they say, "Hey, I want to get the
Junkies' take on the Commanders' defense."
And it's always without fail, I always say, "Well, what do you think about the Commanders' defense?" And they go, "Well, I think it sucks." And I go, "Well, that's great. Why don't you go on the air and tell the Junkies the defense sucks and you have that opinion and then see what they say about your opinion?" And they go, "All right, that's a great idea." Because having an opinion is much more interesting than talking in questions, which we are trying to break that habit of EB doing.
Drab, did you used to watch Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yes, the most talented men in the country. Or was that show fake?
Well, I don't know. It could be fake. Who knows? But they used to. Do you remember
who is your favorite
mine,
on the show?
Colin Montgomery.
He's Colin Montgomery. Yeah. It's so silly.
Brad, what's his name?
Tall Brad.
The Brad dude. No. You're thinking of Ryan Stiles.
Oh, who is Brad?
He was one of the guys that was always introduced before Wayne Brady.
I thought there was a Nubs guy. Is that Brad?
That might be Brad.
No, Ryan Stiles is the tall dunk. Colin Moultrie is our favorite. Wayne Brady, of course.
Colin Moultrie. Oh,
I thought there was a number on that show.
I swear there was a Brad. There was also a member, Greg Propst. He was Nubs.
I got kind of size for this guy. Who's this curly haired guy?
I don't know.
That's the guy I've seen before.
But anyways, they used to do a game, a questions game. All right, where you would have to reenact a scene.
Oh, I do know that.
And you can only speak in questions.
Yeah.
All right. And that's whenever it gets going like that, I always think of Whose Line Is It Anyway.
And only if it was funny, though. But not our show, Whose Line.
But that's what it makes me think of all the time, is the questions game on Whose Line Is It Anyway.
Yeah. Bad broadcasting. Eric, they're too talented to do that. Let me tell you, again, there's nobody more talented and has better chemistry than the Junkies. That's why we're on the show and we've been on the show for so long, because we enjoy it. Nobody wants to hear Eric talk in questions. We want Eric to be prepared and have an opinion about something, which when he does, nobody is better.
Hey, you know what he could do? He could just say, "Hey Siri" in front of it.
I know. My other tilt of the week with Eric was when we talked about the Derek Carr in the Tom Brady story. He goes, I saw that story. Whatever. I nearly fell out of my chair. That was on Monday morning. I'm like, that was literally 5 seconds into the entire 20-minute segment we had built around it.
I think...
And then he warmed up to it.
I think ESPN's first take in their pants for that segment. They did an entire show on it.
Right. You have a Tom Brady NFL topic, and he whatevered it.
He whatever Tom Brady.
Whatever.
Whatever.
The junkies are the junks, and you guys know this by now, is that they're going to be themselves no matter how much it kills Valdez and I sometimes as they can't break their bad habits.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. Whatever.
Whatever.
All right, guys. We had a lot of fun. Sorry about the early recording this week. We're trying to do shows even if we're on vacation. I think Valdez has. I know. I've missed the, what is he saying? Three shows.
I think this
we're counting this as an appearance for Drab. All right. So I've missed two shows. Valdez has missed zero.
Just for the record, I've planned my vacation around bit season so that I can come back and record Thursday. Now I won't have listened to the show at all.
Right. I know that. All right, guys. We will. We'll see.
Whoa. Okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hanses and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.